How you guys doing, Facebook? We're glad you guys are here. And those that are watching online, let's give them a hand in the house. We have some guests and some visitors as well. I want you to do something for me, and you could do it online too. A couple of ways. In the seat back pockets, there should be a little card that says a connection card. If you don't see one, that's okay. You can still do it through your phone. On lakevictory.com, there's a place that you can connect. It's called a connection card. We want to know that you are here, maybe how you came to find out about us. And this is for everyone here and at home. If you have prayer requests, that's your way to connect with us and say, hey, listen, please be praying for this. Please, you know, so that we can know what's going on. How many of you know, if you don't have a way to connect, you can't let people know what's going on? Let me take it a step further. If you don't connect in the time of need, people can't help, right? And the biggest help that can come from anyone is not an action. It is an action. It's asking God. It's praying. It's taking your requests to God. How many of you know he listens and he answers? That's what I love about my relationship with him. I know for a fact that he listens to me, and I know that he answers me. His word says it. How many know his word's true? All right, so we're going to go through some stuff today, man, as we get ready. We're going to go into week 8. We're going to talk about the Palestinian covenant. As you guys know, we talked about the other covenants before this. We talked about the Edenic covenant, and the key word there was to rule. That was when he put them in the Garden of Eden. Then we have the Adamic. That is the covenant that he had to make again because they messed up the first one, and so he had to make a second one. If you guys notice and realize, all these covenants that he makes because we break people. Right? There's one consistent in all of, well, there's two consistents in all of these. God keeping his end of it, us messing our end up, right? That's just what we do. How many of you are good at messing some stuff up? Yes. Please don't ask my wife about that one. She might give you a list, like a Christmas list or something about what I got going on, right? We all have issues and problems and things that are going on. And what we're going to do today, we go to the Adamic, then we went to the Noahic covenant. Again, the world had strayed and gone off and brought all kind of other religions and gods in. This is a purification that happens. Then he goes to the Abrahamic covenant, or Abram, and talks to him, and he shows that how he's going to restore and how he's going to give them a land and a great nation. One of the things about the Palestinian covenant that we're going to talk about today, another term for that is called the land covenant, right? The land of, we know it as Palestine, right? We see them fight over it and all that kind of stuff. Now, this was a promise that God gave to him that he was going to give this land. A lot of people lump this covenant, the Palestinian covenant, and the Abrahamic covenant together because he's talking about the land that he was going to give Abram, right? So we see the land giving to Abraham in when Moses comes through, when they come into the promised land, when Joshua comes over. And one of the things that we're going to see, there's a couple of places where people have said this covenant has already come to pass. One time when Joshua brought all of Israel into the promised land. Another time when Solomon, King Solomon, owned the property, right? But one of the reasons why you know that it hasn't come to pass is because he says you're going to own this land for how long? Eternity. Forever. Right? We also know that in King Solomon's kingdom, there were other people that owned parts of land that he allowed them to possess because they paid him tribute for them. So he did not actually possess, even though he was in control of them, he did not actually possess the land. There were other inhabitants that were there. So that kind of shoots those two things down. But at the same time, let the Holy Spirit tell you what is right and what's wrong in the scripture. Amen? I'm going to tell you what I believe and what I see and what I read in it. But Charles and I were talking before service. There's some things that we're not going to agree on, and that's okay. We're brothers. And we come together, and we need to be open-minded and hear each other's point, but we need to let the Holy Spirit tell us what we need to believe, right? Because when we get there, Aaron and I talked about that yesterday at a restaurant. What one of those things is, when we get there, he's going to say, why did you do what you did? And I'm going to say, because so-and-so told me. And he's gonna be like, well, I'll deal with him later. Why did you do what you did, right? Amen? Because I'm going to give it accountable work for account for every word that I speak. So are you. right? And I believe that pastors and ministers will stand even more accountable than other people will for the simple fact that James says that leaders are held to a higher standard. Amen? So when they're not at a higher standard, how many of you know we all are at the same standard, but they're held accountable for what they've done and what they said a little more in my thought process. So what I want to do is we're going to go through Deuteronomy, a little bit in Deuteronomy, and I had Aaron add something in. Did we get that? At the very end. J-Dog, we're going to the very end at the beginning. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's scriptural, right? Okay, anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read this. And a lot of times in the scripture, you'll read where it says, therefore, or because of this, or as this one says, and when all these things come upon you. So you have to go back and look at what comes upon before this, and we're going to do that in a minute. But I don't think it would be right if I didn't read this part out. So we're going to read this real quick, and then we're going to go back a couple chapters. And I'm going to tell you this now. Go ahead and write this on your notes. You guys are going to have some homework this week. You ready? Ready for homework? I want you to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is a chapter that is all about blessing and curse. A blessing and curse that come from the Lord. How many of you know they come from the Lord? All right, you guys are all just like, I don't know, should I say yes or no? No, they come from the Lord. There's both that comes, right? In his scripture, he talks about a blessing and a curse. He talks about it several times in the scripture. How many of you go, God hasn't changed? Same God. And one of my favorite points from last week was it's a new covenant, same rules, right? The covenant is new, but we still abide by the things that were given to us. They're not just thrown out the window, but we have a mediator between us and God when we mess those things up, right? We're going to talk more about the new covenant because I didn't get through all of it last week in a couple of weeks. But I'm going to read this to you and we're going to go through it. Verse 1, it says, and when these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you from all the people where the Lord, your God, has scattered you. How many of you know sometimes when you're put into a place that you're not really happy with, it may be God putting you there? Like, don't be grumpy about it. It may be God putting you there so you'll learn something. How many of you know some of us ain't going to learn nothing unless we get on the head a couple times, right? Y'all are not hard-headed, but I am. Just ask my mom and dad, right? They put me in the corner, and all I did was plot about what I was going to do when I got out. Like, it wasn't good for me. I had to have a thumping, or I didn't pay attention. That was just me, right? So, but we come back to these things, and we see sometimes God sends us to a place that we're uncomfortable so that we can learn some things. Do you notice? Never mind. Nope. Do you notice that when he sends us those places, it's because of our own disobedience? Okay. All right. And then it says this, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and more numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and the enemies who persecute you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commands that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hands, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will take again delight in prospering you. How many of you know God loves to prosper you? God loves to give you. He loves to bless you. How many of you know there's... Anytime you go too far one direction on any one thing, you mess it all up, right? There's people who focus only on the blessing, only on prosperity, only on these things. And we say prosperity is wrong and bad. No, prosperity is good. It comes from God. How we use it and our attitude towards it is what determines it's good or bad, right? Again, think the physical process, thoughts process of it, right? Money is not bad. The love of money is. money's a good thing. God gives it to us so that we can buy the food that we need, keep our lights on, give to other people, right? He gives us these things for good. But when I start focusing only on that and forget about God, how many of you know that's wrong? Okay? But how many of you know if I throw prosperity completely out the window, I'm wrong too? We got to have both sides of that. So God will take again delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in the book of the law. When you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So when we read this about how he's going to turn back and prosper us and do all these things for us, we read where it says, obey the commandments, right? How many of you know there's a lot of people that say, well, then you're trying to live under the law to keep these things. When you're trying to earn your salvation, that's when you're living under the law. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I'm in relationship with God. I'm going to do the things he wants me to do. Right? I'm in a relationship with my wife. She didn't lay down the Ten Commandments of marriage for me. Thou shalt not look at other women. Thou shalt not go to the mall and ask them if they want to go to the movies. She didn't give me a list of thou shalt nots. Right? Except for grow my hair long again. I'm not allowed to do that. She said that was nasty, and so you can't do it. But anyway, looks good on other people, just not me. So she didn't, but I do these things for her. Why? Because I love her. Because I want to honor her. We'll keep these commandments because we love God, because we want to honor him. Amen? The scripture says, Old Testament and New Testament. Actually, the New Testament says, they will know you by the love that you have and that you keep his commandments. That's how people will know you belong to him. How many people know you belong to him? By looking at your life, not by what you say. Think that thought. That's a difficult thought. Like, Pastor, you're getting really hard on me right now. I want to go back to jokes and fun. But it's a true statement. How many people can look at your life from last week and know that you belong to God? Because of the way you acted and the attitude you had when your boss said something that you were supposed to do that you didn't. When a coworker talked wrong about you. When somebody cut you off in traffic. What do you kids think about? Well, you're really walking with Jesus now, ain't you, Dad? Right? we need to understand that there are things that we need to do. If you go back and you look at chapter 28, which I want you to read this week, it talks about all the blessings that come and all the curse that comes, right? The funny thing, not funny thing, not funny, haha, funny, I don't really like it too much, about that chapter is there's like 64 verses in there, I think, something like that, 60-something verses, and 16 of them are blessing. That's right? That's what I was. I was like, wait a minute, God, the blessing part should be way bigger. Anyway, just go back and study it and look at it this week. But what I want to do is I want to go to chapter 29, in between the blessing and curse, and in between what I just read to you at the beginning. And we're going to go through this chapter right here, and I'm going to show you some things about this covenant. The first thing, Deuteronomy 29:1, it says, these are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. Now, this is an additional covenant. So the Mosaic covenant and this covenant are two different covenants. It explains it right here. This is one that he gave besides the one that he had given before. And he says this, that was number one. Verse number two, it says, and Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. These great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. How many of you know God does things and we don't understand it? There are so many things that he does that we don't understand it. That's one of the reasons why I like the scripture that we use for our Wednesday night Bible study, which is Proverbs 23:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the honor of kings to seek it out. So there are things that are in the scripture that we're supposed to look for, that we're supposed to find, that God will show us. And there's sometimes that our eyes are not open to what God is doing. Why? Because it had changed who we were and what we were doing. Right? What if God never told Abram at the beginning, you're going to have a son? Would he have ever had Ishmael? Because he was trying to bring about God's plan by himself? God doesn't show us things sometimes because we'll mess it up before we get there. It says it right here in the scripture. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, nor eyes to see, or ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten bread. You have not drank wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you come to this place, when you came to this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against you, us in battle, and we defeated them. We took their land, and we gave it for inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all you do. So he's saying, don't forget about what God has done for you in the past. Do you know we see God do so many amazing things, and then something crazy comes up, and we run scared? One of the craziest stories of how I say this, and then I do the same thing. So anyway, you'll see what I mean, the parallel between it. One of the prophets killed 400 prophets, right? 400 prophets of Baal. And then one lady said, I'm going to kill you. And he ran scared. Like, didn't you just see what God allowed you to do, showed you to do, made happen for you, and now you're going to run away scared? And do you know what he said? I wish I was dead. God, please kill me. Take me now, God. Right? Like, look at all the amazing things God has done for you, and one crazy thing comes up, and you're going to run away and hide. We say that. How many of you say, that's pretty dumb? Just be honest. Lift your hand. Like, nobody's lifting their hand. Like, how many of you? We do the same thing. God delivers us time and time and time and time and time again. We see healings in our life. We see provision come from ways that we never could have expected. We see all these things happen, and then one crazy thing happens at work, and we're ready to quit. God, where did you go? It's like, man, I'm right here. Just go. One of the things that I think is hilarious, again, this is a squirrel, but I'm going to come back. Remember we talked about the disciples on the boat and how he was asleep in the boat, and then he said, peace be still, and they said, how'd you do that? He's like, you have little faith, you should have done it. And then what happens? He sends them out again in a boat by themselves, and the trial comes, and they start freaking out, and then he walks to them on the sea, which probably freaked them out a little bit more. How many of you be really scared? Jesus started walking to you on the water in a boat, and it's like, I'm just scared of the storm. Here comes the death angel going to get me, right? I don't know. But it's one of those things. So what he did is he showed them how to handle the situation, and then he sent them out to handle the situation, which they didn't handle. So he came and bailed them out. How many situations has God prepared you for with what has happened in your past, and now he's sending you out to face it and to battle it and to use what he's given you, and you run away scared? Think that thought. If God has put it in front of you, he's given you everything you need to walk through it. His word says it, right? His word says it. If he's called you to this thing, he's going to make sure that it comes to pass, even with your shortcomings, right? Like we were sitting at a table the other day, and they were like, dude, your mind works like a ping pong ball. Y'all remember that? He's like, you just bounce everywhere. I can't keep up. I've been trying to work on that, y'all, for y'all. I've been trying hard. But it's one of those things. Do you know what? When he called me to be a minister and to stand and to speak his word, he already knew my mom was a ping pong ball. He already knew it. But he says, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to work through it. Moses had a stuttering problem, according to the scripture. But most everybody God used was scared. Saul, which is like, this is crazy to me. King Saul, which the people nominated a king. Do you know when they came to bring him to be king, do you know where he was? He was hiding in the luggage. Like, I don't want to be king. I don't want to be king. Like, that's the guy we want to be in charge of everything, right? Anyway, so, But going back to this part right here, what I want us to understand about the scripture we just read, it says in verse 9, it says, therefore, remember what was in the past. Because you remember what was in the past, keep the words of the commandment and do them that you may prosper in all you do. Another principle that we see here, and we've talked about it time and time again, is that obedience brings blessing. It does. And this, he likes it too. Obedience brings blessing. That's what happens. But do you know what? You can't have one side of that coin without the other side of the coin, which means disobedience brings curse. Read chapter 28. We see blessing. We see God doing all these things. Again, if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1, I messed up. There's 68 verses in here, and there's only 14 about blessing. And from 15 to 68, mathematicians, y'all figure it out however many that it is. That's what the curse side of the thing is, the equation is. Now, that doesn't mean that God is a mean God and that he's going to bring a curse upon you. That's not what it means. That means that when I am disobedient, I step out of the blessing of God and I'm on my own. Why? The scripture says that. He's like, you're not on your own. He's always with you. He's there. But he's like, if you want to get off the porch, big dog, go right ahead. Right? You want to handle it yourself, I'll let you, man. And I'm right here when you're ready to come back. I'm right here when you. How many times has God in the scripture been standing there waiting on his children to turn around to him so that he could pour out his blessing on them, so that he could take care of them, so that he could help them? This is just another place where we see this. Disobedience brings blessing or brings curse. We'd all be in really good shape if disobedience brought blessing, huh? Disobedience brings a curse and obedience brings a blessing according to his scripture. Then it says this in verse 10, it says, you are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, and all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourners who is in your camp. From the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water. We give, again, it's a true statement. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. But we give all the credit of the message where the Gentiles are able to be a part of the family of God. And we miss verses like this, where in the Old Testament, if they were brought into the house of Abraham, they were a part of the covenant. If they were brought into his household. Now, circumcision happened in the house of Abraham if they came in. So there could be that thought process that they turned to Jews. But that just adds validity to being grafted into the family. I'm not a part of the family, but now because of relationship, I am. Amen. I'm not going to ask you who in here is Jewish, but I don't think many of us are. That means we're all grafted in. That means we're all brought in to be a part of the family. This is one of the places in the scripture where we see God says, just because of the relationship you have access to him. Now, don't confuse that with my mom and dad have a relationship with him, so I have a relationship too. It's not the case. It's not the case. We all have our own relationship with him. Amen? So that you may enter the sworn covenant of the Lord your God. This is verse 12. Which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God as he promised, and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today, before the Lord our God, and whoever is not here with us today. Do you know why that last sentence is so important? Because me and you weren't standing with him that day. But this promise is still for us. He's saying it's not only for you, but for the generations to come. The people that are going to come in the future are still a part of this covenant. I'm giving them the ability. The one thing about this covenant, and this sounds like, and I meant to say this earlier, and I forgot. Will y'all give me grace on that? Okay, good. I forgot. The one thing about this covenant is this is a unilateral covenant. God says, I'm doing this. But, which goes hand in hand with a unilateral or unconditional, right? But the difference about this covenant is God does it whether we walk in it or not. So it is kind of conditional, right? We have to come to him, right, in order to receive these blessings. We have to come to him to be a part of this. This is what it says over and over and over. It says, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing for you. It's there for you. Do you want it? Do you know what? Again, going back to something John said a while back. John, it just like stuck in my head. I've been telling everybody about this one. You ready? If you want God here, you get him there. If you don't want him here, you don't get him there. That's how it works. If you want God here on earth, you will receive him in the afterlife, eternity. If you don't want him here, you don't get to have him there. You get what you want. Wait a minute, is that crazy? This is a principle that goes in there as well. He's saying, I'm doing this for you, and if you want to have it, you can have it. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. This covenant, number three in your notes, man, this covenant is not just for the Israelites and for them. It is also for us today. The covenants that God has in the Word of God, he made with men, he made with certain people, but they are also for us to walk in, his family, his children. Verse 16. And you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among you. Beware, lest there be a man among you, a man or a woman or clans or tribes whose heart is turning away from the Lord our God to go to serve gods of those nations. Beware, lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when hears the words of the sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart and says, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead you to the sweeping away of the moist and the dry. One of the things that we need to understand is we need to be careful who we allow to speak into our lives. In this passage right here, he's saying there's going to be some people that are going to have a hard heart, that aren't going to care what God wants to have happen, but they're going to sit amongst you just like they do everything else. And what happens is a little bit, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read you two verses that Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame. Do you know why he says it to their shame? Because they proclaim Christ, but they live a completely different way. As we spoke about earlier, if people, you talk to the people at your work, do they know you're a Christ follower? Do they know that you've given your life to Christ? Or do you look just like everybody else? I remember, man, I was in Louisiana and I met this one person. I was at a job and I met this one person and I started talking about one of the leaders at my church. And I was like, yeah, so you know so-and-so? They're like, yeah. I was like, he's a leader at my church. He's like, I think you got the wrong so-and-so. like there ain't no way that guy's a leader at a church. Like, mm-mm. I'm like, no, yeah, like he's married to this one and I got these kids. He's like, yeah, but he's not a leader at your church. Like, he can't be. I'm like, no, he is, he really is. Why is that a bad conversation? It's to his shame that people don't know that he's a Christ follower. And do you know what ends up happening? People blame God because of his life and what he's doing. You know, God didn't have nothing to do with what he did and how he acted. That goes right back to my parents when I was a kid. I was a knucklehead, man. I got in trouble all the time. I did stuff I wasn't supposed to do. And people blamed who? Not me. They blamed my parents. Well, you should have raised them better. Look, dude, we got four kids. Only one of them was a real knucklehead. I mean, I'm not saying we all didn't have our knucklehead moments. Everybody has those, you know what I mean? But only one of them was me, the problem kid, right? But it wasn't because of my parents. It's because of what I chose to do. But do you know what? There's so many people in this world that are blaming God for your actions. Let me ask you this. Are your actions bringing people to him or pushing him away from you, them away from him? Right? It's important. Bad company ruins good morals. And you say, well, I've only got this one issue. Now, again, we all have issues. Ain't nobody perfect. I'm not saying that you have to be. But it does say, wake up and don't sin anymore. Like, do everything you can to live a righteous life. That's our goal. That's what we're supposed to do. When we fall down, what do? We cry and say, I can't ever do it, and give up. No, we get up. We say, God, I messed up. Please help me. And that's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we mature in the faith. Amen? But Galatians 5, 7 through 9 says, you were running so well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Why is it important that you hang out with the right people? That you surround yourself and you let the right people speak into your life? Now, you can't come out and never live with them and never speak to them and never talk to them, because how will they end up knowing? We've talked about this before, right? But who are you allowing to input into your life on how you should handle situations and what you should do in the circumstances that you're in and how you should let... Who are you letting give you marital counseling? Think about that thought. When you go to talk to somebody about your relationship with your husband or your wife, who are you talking to? Someone that can help, that wants to help, or somebody that's like, oh girl, you need to get rid of him. Boy, he's horrible. You just don't need to talk to him no more. She, man, she's not doing nothing. You need to find somebody else. That's the world's answer, correct? That's not what God says. Who are you going to for these things? When something happens bad at work, are you going and sitting in the corner and bad-mouthing your boss just like everybody else does? Or are you going to honor and respect him because he's in a place of authority over you because you're in that job? You want me to tell you a joke now and get you to laugh a little bit, maybe? This scripture talks about baking, but it's meant to talk about our lives. Just as a small amount of yeast will make the whole loaf of bread rise, a little bit of legalistic teaching will quickly spread and infiltrate the hearts and minds of individuals and believers until the entire church is contaminated. Are you bringing God's word to people, or are you bringing what you think it says? Now, in saying that, we're supposed to share what we believe about the word of God, but I'm going to tell you what, not everybody gets it right. If someone tells you that your pastor gets everything right, laugh at them. I just be honest. Because I messed some stuff up, I'm sure. And I'm sure we're going to get to heaven, and he's going to be like, oh, you messed that one up, Tobe. You just completely missed that one. Let's talk about the good stuff, right? I know I say that all the time, but I think it's true. I think there's some stuff that we don't get right, although we try as hard as we can. Amen? But we need to get in the Word. God shows me things over and over and over again that I've seen in the past that I believe that I don't believe anymore today. Why? Because I've found it in His Word, and I've changed the way that I've thought about things. I've had conversations with people, and we've talked about what they believe versus what I believe, and I've gotten the Scripture. Listen, I'm all for somebody coming to me and saying, hey, that wasn't right. Do you know what? I had it this week. Week before, I talked about the curtain being 4 feet thick. You know, I left off one of them little things. It's only 4 inches thick. It wasn't 4 feet thick. Still pretty thick, but 4 feet and 4 inches, completely different thing. Amen? But somebody said, hey, listen, this is what happened. It was only 4 inches, not 4 feet. Yes, you're right. I got it wrong. It happens. But he loved me enough to come and say, hey, this is what happened. Not, man, you're so dumb. You didn't get it right. You don't even know it was only 4 inches, not 4 feet. Who makes a curtain 4 feet wide, right? There's a difference in the two. But do you know what? There's people who speak into my life that I allow to speak into my life. And then there's some people that come and tell me some crazy off-the-wall stuff. Okay. And I just let it go. Why? I said, this is crazy dumb stuff. Like, where are you getting this from? Who are you to say these things? Like people off the street or whatever? But there are some people that are in my life that I allow to speak into my life. And I allow to say hard things, right? You have to have that. You have to have that. But going back to all of this is, who are you allowing to speak into your life? And are they bringing God or the worldview on things? We need to remember that. Be careful of who you allow to speak in your life. Another thing that I want us to bring about, and this is the last thing I'm going to talk about. What time is it? Have we got time? Oh, I'm going to end up early today. You guys should be thankful. Or maybe I'll add some more to it. I don't know. We'll get there in a minute. Number five, the point that I want you to think about is that it is a heart issue. It is a heart issue, and I said this earlier. Verse 19 says, one who hears the words of the sworn covenant blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be saved, though I walk in stubbornness in my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of the moist and the dry. This will lead to us being taken away from God's presence and me leading other people in a way they shouldn't go. How many of you know that there are people that are just coming to Christ that are going to look to the people that are sitting next to this in the room of how they should walk? It happens. Where are you leading them? What direction are you going in that they're going to say, well, I know the Word of God says this, but they've been serving God for a long time, and they do that, and they do that, and they do that, so it's okay for me to do those things. Problem is there's another place, and I don't know where it's at. It just came to my mind right now. There's a place that says what walks in the Father runs in the Son, right? And so what my Father does in little bit, I'll do in excess. You guys understand that principle? One of those things, what you do, what you teach people, because people are watching you to see how to live their lives, to how to be Christ-like. Now, you should never measure yourself up to a person. You should always measure yourself to God's word. It's one of the things, there's some of you guys in here that really like golf. Do you know when you play golf, you can put yourself against other people, but most of the people that play golf, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, you're playing against your last score more so than you're playing against other people. You're trying to better yourself. Am I right on that or is that wrong? Yeah, that's right. It's one of those things is today I'm trying to play better, shoot less shots than I did yesterday or the last time that I played. And then the next time I'm going to try and do better today than I did then. One of the things we need to understand is the past is behind us. We can't change it. Let's look forward to our future and do the best that we can do. Do the best that we can do. Don't struggle. Don't be frustrated about what you did. Yeah, look at it and say, I messed that up. I don't want to do it again. Learn from your mistakes. But it's one of those that it goes right, and I've said this a bunch of times too. You're probably getting tired of it. One of the principles my coach says at the gym to the girls that are doing, the kids that are doing jiu-jitsu and the adults that are doing it, he says, you don't lose if you learn, right? You may have gotten beat, but if you take what you got from this point and don't get beat like that again, you learned. You didn't lose, right? What we need to understand is when we fall down, we need to learn. Because we didn't lose, we just fell down. We just need to get back up and start going again. And say, oh, I see this coming this time. I'm not going to fall down by that again. Right? We need to understand. We lead people and guide people in a direction. Is it the right way or the wrong way? I'm going to read another scripture to you. Deuteronomy 10. 12 through 16. We're going to go back a little bit in the Word of God, but I want you to see something that happens here in the Scripture. It's one of the first places I remember seeing this. I talk about it, and I think it's in Ezekiel as well. I know it's in Ezekiel. I think it's in Jeremiah as well. But in Deuteronomy, it says this, Now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. How, again, going right back to it, the rules, the regulations, the things He gives us, the things He tells us to do, they're not just because He wants to be a mean God. They're for our good. How many of you who have kids? And your kids turn around and be like, you're just mean. I'm like, no, I don't want you to play in the street because I don't want you to get hit by a car. Right? That's why the rule's there. I don't want you to eat too much candy because I don't want you to have a sick stomach. Right? Not because I don't want you to enjoy the food. Right? Look at me. I'm one who enjoys the food. Right? You understand that process? Like, I'm not trying to keep you from something good. I don't want you to be sick. So there's a limit to what we're going to do. When we look at the rules and the laws of God all the way through, even the Levitical laws that are there, why are they there? For our good. Not for his good. Not for his good. What happens to our lives when we put other gods before him? Our lives get jacked up. Right? Although we can look at him and say, well, this is him. He just wants our attention. He's saying, I want you to focus on me because I'm what's going to get you through life. I don't want you to look to other gods. I don't want you to look to man-made things because they can't do anything for you. I want to be your God, and I want to take care of you as my children. So do these things. Do these things. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of the heavens and the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all people, as you are this day. Then it says this. There was a big discussion, especially in the New Testament, about whether men needed to be circumcised or not to be a part of what was going on. This is the first place in here where we see it said this way. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. That means the change has to come in your heart, not in your physical body. Not something that you can do. It's what you have in here that God looks at. It's what you have in here that matters. And when you come into the new covenant, the new testament, and the new covenant that Jesus brings, realize he takes it a step further, the law, all of it. It's not just you don't do these things. It's don't have those things in your heart that matters. He says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and no longer be stubborn. What is stubborn? It means it's all about me. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to do what takes care of me. I ain't going to do it if you want it done because I'm me and I want to do what I want to do. What they say about that song, the Hell's number one song is I Did It My Way, right? Y'all remember that song? I did it. All that stuff happened, but I did it my way. Well, look where that got you, right? Where does doing it your way get you in life? Think about those. Look at your past. Look at your past. Say, where did doing it my way get me? And then look at your past and say, where did doing it God's way get me? And what happened? And it's not all about what can it get me, what can it get me, but the relationship that we have with God changes things. I love what John said earlier about altar. This is the place to alter. This is a place to change. Because if you come to him and you're not changed, you didn't give him your life. If you come to him and there's no change, my wife said this. I've invited Jesus to follow me instead of me follow Jesus. Right? Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Come this way with me as I do life. That's not what it's about. It's about God. I'm giving up. I'm denying me. I'm denying myself. And I'm following you. All the men in the scripture that Jesus called and said, come and follow me. What did they do? Dropped everything and followed him. The ones that didn't follow him, what did they do? They said, well, I got this I got to take care of. And I got to take care of this. And I got to do this first. And then I'll come hang out with you. But for right now, there's other more important things. So, in that thought, I'm going to close right now. You can cut on the music. And this is what I want you to think about. In your heart, where is God today? Where is your life in your heart? Have you said, I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I'm making you the Lord of my life. Or have you actually given it to him? And said, I'm going to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do. the covenants and this Palestinian covenant of the land, one of the things that it says is that he will renew our hearts. He will change us. He will change us. I don't know about you, but I still need some change in my life. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. This morning, you need change. You need God to do something different. You've maybe given him with your mouth your life, but you've been living your own way. And today, you want to give everything to him. You want to leave everything behind and follow him. You don't just want the blessing that comes with being in relationship with him. There's going to be some difficult things that are going to come too. Do you know why? Because as soon as you give your all to him, the enemy's going to fight you with everything he's got. That's another way to look at it. If you're not being fought by the enemy, you might need to look at your life. But today, you say, I want to give Jesus everything. He gave everything for me. I want to give it my everything. That's you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You just put your hand up and say, that's me. I want to give him my all today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anybody else? 9, 10, 11. Anybody else? 12, 13. Anybody else? I want to say a prayer. Again, this prayer is not going to save you. It's a heart matter. But the word says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you should be saved. So I want to say a prayer here and with you at home. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, say it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done separated me from you. I ask that you would help me now. I accept your son, what you've done for me, and I give you my life. Change me. Make me a new creation. Help me do what's right. Give me your Holy Spirit that I could have peace, patience, goodness, self-control, all the things he brings. Help me now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Now, I want to ask you, let's give those hand to those people. Again, allow a change to come in your life. Look to God and ask him, how can I be different? What can I do? One of the main things that you need to do, and all of us need to do, and I'm going to encourage you again about this. I want you to find one person a day to tell about Jesus. One person a day. Not the same person every day. Jim, Jesus loves you. Tomorrow I'm going to come tell you the same thing, Jim, for a week. Jim already knows Jesus loves him, so we've had a conversation before, right? He's told me Jesus loves me, so we're good on that, right? So I'm not going to go to Jim again, right? Go find somebody you've never talked to, right? And do it in the line at the grocery store. Just say, you know what? Jesus loves you. That's all I'm gonna say. If you don't want to say more. If you don't want to say more, find a way to share Jesus with somebody. Hey, can I tell you what Jesus has done in my life? Then you'll be like, please say no, please say no, please say no. but you've already told them that Jesus changed your life, right? Even if they say no, you've already told them Jesus changed your life. There are ways to share him. Let's find him and let's tell as many people as we can, because as we've talked about before, the time is short, man. Even more as the day approaches, is what Aaron said. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Well, Paul said it first, but don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Encourage each other. Build each other up even more as the day approaches. It's coming quick, man. It's quick. It's closer than it's ever been, right? Got to admit that part. Even if it's 1,000 years away, it's still closer than it's ever been. Let's share Jesus with people, because it's important. It's important. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to go out these doors, man, help us now. Give us boldness. Give us courage to speak of who you are, to confess you before men, Father God. Not just here and saying some words while people's heads are bowed and closed, eyes are closed, but while we're standing in the store, while we're at work, while doing what you've called us to do in the place you've put us at, God, help us be a light to those people and share your love, grace, and mercy in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. One more thing really quick. Don't forget, we got Mother's Day sign up out there. We need some help. The other thing that you can do, one of the main things that everybody can do is please pray that God will give us opportunities to share his love, grace, and mercy with everybody that comes to get these flowers, right? Gives us opportunities to speak into life because they're coming here to do those things, all right? And with that, I love you guys. If you could come Wednesday, come on. And if not, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.